The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Two men were assigned a task to cut down a tree. One was a big, burly, Thor-looking person. He was about 30 years old and full of vim and vigor. The other was a scrawny, 120-pound, looked like he could not knock over a toothpick. They were assigned to cut down two large oak trees. At the base of each tree, they were approximately 36 inches in diameter. So the big burly Thor guy began to chop his tree. And he chopped and he chopped and he chopped, and the little guy started chopping his tree. After a while, the little guy stops, and nobody knows where he goes. He comes back and he chops again. The other guy's still chopping, and he noticed the other guy is leaving the tree periodically. At the end of the contest, the little guy won. The big guy looks at him and says, "How did you chop that tree down faster than I did?" He said, "In fact, you were even leaving the tree." He said, "Oh, I went back to sharpen my axe every now and then." He said, "You kept trying to chop down the tree with a dull axe." The Holy Spirit is given to help us to take moments to sharpen ourselves. The reason why so many of God's people are exhausted is you just keep going and keep going. You have allowed yourself to become delusional in thinking that the kingdom needs you beyond your human abilities. God put a Sabbath into our life to sharpen us. I cannot lead this ministry unless I go and sharpen this axe. And when I go sharpen this axe, the Holy Spirit gives me directives. And I come back and I want to employ these directives and then apply these directives. But you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. I asked the Lord, why are there so many people converting and why are so many people avoiding the church of the Lord Jesus? And he said, because the church is not showing people anything anymore. Why should they want to come in? The only thing we have going for us in our doctrine is the absence of hell. We have not affected communities. We have not affected neighborhoods. We have not affected politics. We have not affected society because we have turned God into a personal bank. That's not our function, nor should it be our focus. There has to be some qualitative reason for coming to God outside of not going to hell. The Bible declares that you're to be in health, and I take that seriously. There is too much sickness in the body of Christ, and I pray and lay before God, and he's challenging me to step out into that water, and I have to prepare the body for that, because I'm telling you this now, and like God said, I can't do this unless I show Abraham. I can't do this unless I tell you. We are going to move into a realm of supernatural healing that will invite the demonic, because Satan is drawn to the anointing. Wherever he finds the anointing, that's where he concentrates his efforts. Now, this is how he works. Paul says in two cases, one in Ephesians and one in 2 Corinthians, that we are not to be ignorant of the devil's tactics. Now, when he finds the anointing in a position to do the supernatural, he comes and attacks the leaders first. He doesn't attack the general Christians. He attacks the leaders because they are responsible to implement the vision. After he has successfully stripped away the leadership, then he comes for the visionary. God has spoken and declared to me that because of our pursuit of him, not me, but because of our pursuit of him, we are being poised to see limbs grow back in our services. Hear me when I tell you, I've been praying about, there were three things the Lord said. He said he had declared war on cancer and diabetes, and that was over a year ago. The second thing he said was that he was lifting the faith of his people to enter into the realm of the supernatural. And last week or so, I was praying about people who are having significant problems with their kidneys, and I was praying that God would heal them. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, stop asking me to heal them and start asking me to give them new ones. And so as I move into that realm of request, you must believe. Jesus' most difficult task was not going to the cross. That was easy. Dying for our sins was easy. He said, look, I'm going to lay this body down, and in 3 days I'm going to pick it up. The most difficult task that Jesus undertook was to teach us the principles of the kingdom so that you and I would walk in consistent victory. But our adversary hits us with these simplistic issues to stop us from entering in to the realm of the supernatural. The supernatural should not be difficult for us. It should be normal for us. Are you hearing me? Now, we need a guide. We need a guide. We need someone to help us to enter into that realm. We are going to undertake, the body of Christ at large, if the leaders of the church are able to see this, we will facilitate a supernatural move of God. If the leaders of the church are able to see this, God has never instructed that his word be watered down with homiletics and hermeneutics. It's significant just as it is. But we have so many people who are mechanics of the word that they miss the supernatural of the word. And so the Lord says to me, why are you preaching that way? Why are you so worried about putting it in a structure that it impresses? Why are you worried about the three-point system of exegesis? That was good when we started, but now we're in a war. People need to know what God is saying, not what I'm saying. God said. Watch. Jesus says, the reason why, he didn't say this, I'm saying this. The reason why we're so confused is because we've taken the explanation from the Holy Spirit and put it in the hands of the ministry. 80% of you came in here today to be entertained by church. So how do you know? Because you're the ones who just sat there while it was going on. When the worship was going on, you were just sitting listening. When the praise team was singing, you were just listening. And when the preacher's up, you're just listening because you just came to be entertained. But the organizational worship, the corporate worship, is designed for the release. So that when you come together, When you come together on the first day of the week, you bring your faith, your prophetic word, your gift of healing. You bring all that you have into one central place, and we have an explosion, because what happens is the Holy Spirit then utilizes what everyone brings, and now someone sitting next to you can get the healing they need because they're sitting next to a member of the body and not waiting for the preacher to call them out and get them healed. If we can remove the spectator mindset, John 15:26, Jesus says, when the Comforter comes, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Why is this necessary? Because you're left here to be me. The world needs Jesus, but Jesus is not here physically, or so we think. He is here physically through us. And every time the enemy is successful in discouraging us from being on our post, we miss the opportunity to bring someone the help and the hope they so desperately need. If you see yourself, according to the word of God, in the book of 1 Corinthians, let's look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why is the Holy Spirit here? Not to teach you to talk in tongues and all the other things. Those are things that are byproducts. But I need you to see this. This is critical. Because if you understand this purpose, you stop living for yourself. Now, this is going to be the difficult task. Again, it's not the absencing of ourselves from sin. That's an easy thing. Just don't do it. My mama used to say, you might not get A's in all your subjects, but you can get A's in behavior. She said it doesn't take a genius just to sit there and keep your mouth shut. She was right. You could just sit there, because the Bible says even a fool knows how to keep their mouth shut. So we spend a lot of time dancing and having physical demonstrations to say to people, I'm filled with the Spirit, but we are not able to love our enemies. But I need you to see this, because this is critical. Oh, okay. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we have spiritual gifts, and that these gifts are deposited in each of us by the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a difference with being talented. Talents are put in you by birth. Talents can be trained once they're identified, and most of us lack someone with the vision to spot our talent. For example, if you're a singer, you should associate with other singers who will spot your talent and help you to train your talent. Same way with giftedness. When you are gifted in healing, you ought to associate with people who move in the gift of healing, so that you can learn how to work your gift. The enemy has been successful in bringing us to a place of individuality, which says, I don't need nobody but Jesus. That's a lie, because iron sharpens iron. Amen, amen. Prophetic people should associate with prophetic people. Even if you think you're prophetic, you should get around other prophetic people, because that will help you to find out if you are. Teachers should be around teachers, and so forth and so on. And so when you find that God is giving you a distinction, a spiritual distinction, this is how you must respond to it. You don't respond to the spiritual distinction by immediately entering into the work of that distinction. You respond to the distinction by immediately associating with others of like distinction. That plain enough for you? Yeah. If you say God has called you into the ministry, then hang around ministers. Hang around people who are walking in that calling so that you may be able to find whether or not you are genuinely called. You're not going to find it out by the pastor calling you out and identifying it. That's not my job. My job is not to identify. My job is to instruct. But since the only way you can find out if you are called into something or gifted for something is by hanging around other gifted people, that would necessitate you coming to church regularly. If the devil can isolate you and put you on an island of individuality, you will develop not your gift, but arrogance. And arrogance means no one can tell me. Paul said we are to be aware of our enemy's tactics. So what does it mean? Learn how he does things. See, if the devil can't keep you from being with saints, here's what he'll do. He'll fill your mind with thoughts of individuality. You'll say things like, God is calling me to himself. God is not calling you to himself. God is calling you to the body. The body is called to him. But he's calling you to the body. Amen. In the body is everything you need. Amen. And it's going to blow your mind. In the body, you will find blessing. And you will find rebuke. In the body. To isolate yourself from the body is to set yourself up for demonization. What did he do to the woman? He isolated her from her husband and talked to her. As he was talking, the man comes up. But by then, he was so beguiled by what his wife was becoming or doing that he fell. See, the devil will never hit you when you are with others in the body. He wants you to be alone. See, God is calling me over here, and the rest of the body is over there. No, Jesus never did that. Jesus was always found where the people assembled. The only times Jesus broke away from people is when he had to get instruction from God to bring to the people, and when they started acting nutty and wanted to make him a ruler. In other words, he's saying, the only time I'm going to absent myself from you is when I get vision from God to help you and when you're trying to make me a celebrity. Paul says, you have these gifts, right? Something is there. Who puts the gift in you? The Holy Spirit. By the same Spirit, Paul says. They're administered by the same Spirit. They're given by the same Lord. All one. All right. So now that they're in there, what must we do? Well, the gifts are subservient to the character.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
The gifts are subservient to the character. The character must override the application of the gift. Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and don't have character, I'm just making noise. You see what Paul is doing? Do you follow this trend? In chapter 12, he talks about the dispensation of gifts, which begins with the Holy Spirit and never ended, because the Holy Spirit is still with the church. They are called the gifts of the Spirit because they are his. They are not yours, which means you were not born with them like you were with talents. They are not called the talents of the Holy Spirit. They are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there is no gift of singing. You can be talented and then trained, but there is no gift. Why? Because gifts speak of exclusivity. In other words, some prophesy, some
move with word of wisdom. Some move with word of knowledge. Some move with gifts of healings. But all can sing. I did not say all sing well. I said all sing. You see, the Bible gives you both. On one hand, he says, sing unto the Lord. Then the other one, he says, make a joyful noise. That's what the text says. So why is the Holy Spirit this super glue of the body? God deals with redemption by foreordaining and electing. That's God's role in redemption. Foreordaining and electing. God elected me before my great, 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 great grandparents were even born. I was elected when he said, let there be light. I was elected. That's God's role. Foreordination, predestination, and election. In other words, God selects those who are to be saved. That's his role. That's his only role in the redemptive process, to point out people. Several years ago, Sister Lambert and I went on a cruise, and there was a problem. They had that virus, and so they had to scrub the ship and bleach everything. And so it delayed our boarding the ship. So they took us to this holding area, and they fed us, and everybody had to gather there. And after the food, and they got the word that it was all clear to come on board, the attendants went around and they gave out gold cards to those who had a certain class of cabin. Well, we got a gold card because we had a certain class of cabin, because we have class. So when we got our cards, they said, all right, we're now going to line up and we're going to go to the boat. So the people got up into the front and said, all right, everyone line up here, straight across. Please, we're getting ready to get on the buses to go to the boat. And when everybody gathered, they said, those of you with gold cards, come to the front of the line. So we excused ourselves, because just because you are predestined don't mean you have to be rude. So we excused ourselves and said, excuse me, we're going to the front of the line. So while we were up there waiting for the elective process, there were two people standing behind me who spoke Italian. And they were speaking to each other, and I'll give it to you in English, about these two black people who got in front of them, and who do we think we are? So we were standing there, and I let them finish their thought, and I turned around and said, scusa, io parlo italiano, io so che ha detto. In other words, I speak Italian, I know what you said. They slipped back into the crowd. See, when you're foreordained, you know what the enemy is thinking. When he tells you, you can't have your blessing. You can tell the devil, devil, I know you're trying to put doubt on me. I heard your lie, but I'm foreordained, and it doesn't take my card away, and it doesn't take my position away. And watch him slip back into the crowd. Why? Because the Spirit will bring everything to your mind. You know when the devil's trying to set you up. You know when he's lying to you. You know when he's speaking foolishness to you. Because you've been foreordained. You've been elected. You've been called by God. Oh, Jesus. Should have seen the look on their face. I love doing that just because of the imp in me. But that day I had to say something.
Because I was waiting for him to say a certain derivative of Negro. And believe me, they would have received my card in their mouth. I'm not fully delivered. I still got a little bit of hood in me. Now, God's part was election, foreordination, predestination. Jesus' part was sacrifice to make it possible. No matter how much God foreordained you, no matter how much he elected you, he needed a sacrifice to justify your election. But since he elected you before Jesus physically came, he had to put that particular aspect in his mind as well. So the Bible said Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So in God's economy, he had already killed Jesus before he called you. That's what enabled God to call us, is because he already saw Jesus dying for us. See, this is why he can't understand why you can't praise him. He sits there wondering, my goodness, don't they know what I've done for them? I love all of you intimately. Yes, I do. I love you with all my heart. But I ain't giving my children to die for you. I ain't never throwing my baby out there and saying, Shanina, go on out and die for Pastor Martin because I really love him. She looked at me and said, have you lost your mind? And Jesus sat there and God said, you're going to have to die for all those people who are destined to hell, but they are destined to me. Lord have mercy. Y'all letting me down. Listen. So now we have God's position, election for ordination, and then we have Jesus' position to die for us to make our election possible, and then we have the Holy Spirit's position in the redemptive act is to fill you and cancel out the Adamic nature that refuses to die on its own. When God saved you, he did not save your nature. He did not save your inclinations. He did not save your desires. That's why we can still desire things that are not godly. That's why words can still come out of our mouths that are injurious to others. That's why we have the propensity to lie, to cheat, to steal. And the temptation for it comes regularly. God did not save your desires when he saved you. He saved you. Then he put the Holy Spirit in you to help you temper those things. So when that ungodly desire rises, the Holy Spirit says, you're not like that anymore. He reminds you that that old life is no longer in the forefront of your brain. The commanding general, the CEO, the chief operating officer of your brain is your cerebral cortex. It operates, it controls, it works on impulse. It just tells you what to do without thinking of consequences. And God augments that by giving you a limbic system. The limbic system's located on the side. But what the limbic system does is it brings a moment of pause to the cerebral cortex. Because the cerebral cortex, as I said, is the CEO. CEOs don't think. That's why Donald Trump is talking like he's talking. Don't blame him. He's not a politician. He's a CEO. A CEO walks in and says, do it my way or y'all fired. Well, you can't do that when you're president. So he doesn't have a limbic system. He's just CEO. He's just driven by what he sees. And what's so interesting is no one cares that he doesn't have a limbic system because he's just saying what we want to say. But we're politically correct. We don't say it because we don't want to embarrass, but CEOs don't care. The same thing he brought to the apprentice, he's bringing to the political work. He just saying it. Don't fault him. Don't demonize him. He's not the Antichrist. Antichrist is too intelligent. No, I don't mean that as in a negative way. I mean it in this context. The Antichrist, it will be a gatherer. He will not be divisive. He will seek to bring factions together. That's what will help him get to the pinnacle of political power. This man is divisive. He's the anti-antichrist. He's not the antichrist. He's the anti-anti. See, and because we've been prone to following limbic system presidents, here comes the cerebral cortex president. And we can't handle it. Well, the Holy Spirit is your limbic system. You see, because somebody comes up to you and they hit the side of your car, there is something that rises up in your mouth immediately. Hey, what the Holy Spirit says? Well, praise the Lord. Is everybody all right? And you know in your heart that's not what you want to say. So Jesus says, this is his function. In John's gospel, he repeats his function. Why? Why is this necessary? Because Paul writes in Galatians, he comes to give you character. Yes. Gifts are great, but they're secondary to character. Yes. The Holy Spirit brings power, but it's secondary to character. How you treat people is indicative of your of who runs your inside. So the Spirit is in there now. And what is he doing? He's recreating your character. And it takes him a long time. Why? Because you have no point of reference. You have no point of reference for love. You have no point of reference for goodness. No point of reference for gentleness. No point of reference. You've seen it, but you've never experienced it from God's perspective. Most of our love is selfish. Most of our love has this ulterior motive. What can you do for me? Or what have you done for me lately? When someone says, I love you, immediately you start thinking that's a gateway into them doing something for you. You ask the people who say they love you for money. Praise the Lord. I just love you with the love of God. Oh, praise God. Next week, you got $200? I'll give it back to you. You only ask people who say they love you. Why? Because our love is sensual and selfish. But according to the word of God, the love of God is not selfish. It's selfless. We are not loving for what you can do for me. In other words, it's the opposite. Love says, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? But now he's in you. And I don't get it because the Bible calls him fire. He's the only member of the Godhead who is never identified by a singular body. God is identified in a body. In the book of Leviticus, there are elders up on the mountain, and they're eating with God. They're having lunch on the mountain. And who walks across the clouds but God? They look at his feet, and his feet are brass. God stops and has lunch with the elders. He identifies to Moses, my hand, my finger. He speaks of himself. Some say they were metaphors. I don't believe they were metaphors. I believe God has a body. But it's on a higher level than ours because we're made in his image and his likeness. When we get to Bible 505, we can talk about some things in creation, but we're not there yet. But that creation aspect, when we're made in his image and his likeness, there's no theology necessary. We were the example. We were the image. In other words, it's like taking a piece of paper and putting it in a Xerox machine, pushing the button, and what comes out is exactly what went in. We were made in his image. That's why every one of us has our nose in the center of our face. Every one of us. The model came from God. This is why Darwinian theorists believe that we've evolved from the ape, because the ape was made before the man, and the man has the same looks as the ape. My daughter and I, we were coming out of Animal Kingdom several years ago, and we stopped at the gorilla cage. They had two silverback gorillas. And Shanina and I stopped and looked at him, and we looked at each other, and we, you know, she said to me, because my daughter's just like me in a dress. She said, Dad, she said, now I'm kind of having a problem with this. And we looked, and the gorilla's nose was just like mine. The folds in his ears were just like mine. His fingers had this wrinkled skin behind it just like mine. And they were even using fingers. They don't have thumbs like we do, but they were using fingers to pick off insects off their babies, just like us. They had manual dexterity, and they had the ability to do this like we do this. She said, you know, I don't believe in that evolution thing. She said, but there's something going on. I said, here's what we've learned if we really believe God. The same mold that worked for the gorilla worked for us. It's not the mold that gives you distinction. Gorillas don't have souls. They can't house the spirit. They can still have the folds in their ears. They can have all the physical, but we didn't evolve from them because we're intelligent. We're sentient. They have instinct. We have intelligence, which means while we do have instinct, we don't have to act on instinct. For example, it's a man's instinct. I say it again. It's a man's instinct to chase a woman. It's a man's instinct. Listen to me. Married or not, it's a man's instinct to follow. This is 7:30, right? Okay. Let me, if it was 11:30, I wouldn't have a problem. But let me see. It's a man's instinct to follow what his eyes see. Okay? It's a man's instinct to follow what his eyes see. But because he's sentient, because he's intelligent, he knows what will happen if he does it. He thinks about it, especially if he's married. He thinks about it. He starts thinking about the legal fees and the lack of a prenup and it's cheaper to keep her. And so he has a moment of pause. While he watches South Carolina walk down the street, he knows, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And here's what we'll say, the devil is a lie, but he's not a lie. You are acting normal. Because it's his instinct. But the Holy Spirit is there to say, nope, can't do that. Why? Got somebody else, can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. See, that's why the Spirit's in us. He's in us to counter the natural instincts that you can't kill and they don't die. So you walk around, praise the Lord. I'm so glad I'm delivered from people. Yes, there will be a time in your life when biologically and physiologically you won't desire the same things you did at 20. Your drive will naturally just, you know, kind of fall off. That's just normal. That's God's mercy. Because you don't need to be 75 years old hunting skirts. You just don't need that. You don't need to be, you can't even get yourself, arthritis has beaten you down, and you still trying to, praise the Lord, baby. No, it ain't working. You can't be wearing purple shoes when you're 65. You got to wear them black ones that's wide on your feet. Can't be walking around 70 years old with juicy and all that other stuff. I'm hot. No, you're not. You're just sizzling out. You're not hot anymore. Just when you go, ain't nothing there. When you go, it just, it was. But it's okay. It's okay. You don't need to try to recapture those 20s. The 20s was hell on your body. It was hell on your body. You were running around and jumping and skipping, and now you're over in your 60s, and your knees are rebelling, and you make noise when you lay down, noise when you get up, noise when you sit down. The bed is no longer a place of passion. It's actually a place of rest. When you get in it now, it's like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. 20 years ago, it was, whoa, thank you, Jesus. But now it's the same words, but a different meaning. It's normal. This is why the Spirit has come, to help you accept the normal metamorphosis of life. Stop trying to be what you once were. Those days are over. I was young a long time. I had a good run. I go out, my godson will call me and he'll say, hey dad, let's go get something to eat and we'll go. And I like to take him to Lee's because I like memories. And I take him out to Lee's in Willow Grove and I go in and I say, I have the Caesar salad without any dressing and no chicken. And Darius will sit there and Darius, and I said, what do you want? And Darius said, give me the hot wings, the curly fries, and a chicken cheese steak. And bring it to the table in the booth and sit there. And he said, dad, I feel sorry for you. Then he'll hold one out like the devil. Hold a head. You want one? You want one? Hath God said? Did God tell you your cholesterol is going to go up? I said, nah, I can't do that. You go on and enjoy yourself. Why? Because those days are over. I had a good run. I had a good run. But it's over now. Now I preserve what God has given. See, that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. God presents the supernatural possibility. Jesus presents the capability. And the Holy Spirit comes to give you the dream ability. You see, without Him, you can never dream that you could do these things. Do you understand how exciting it is to undergo the metamorphosis of supernatural change, to graduate from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to see God for who He is and realize that you are called to that dynamic? Jesus said that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do, but it's not through gifts and it's not through tongues. It's through character. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit is love. That's it. Now, how does it manifest? Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and dependability. The ability to control what once ran you.
Friday Night Explosion Services Part 3 continues on Friday, November 4th, 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come out and enjoy the presence of the Lord with high praise and spirited worship as Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. delivers a powerful message from the Word of God. Prayer begins at 6 p.m., followed by service at 7 p.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue. We look forward to seeing you. Come and be blessed.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
010-116-A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.